create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore away again. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore
that's your prayer tonight. It's good to be in church tonight. We've got several prayer requests that we'll just get Brother Willis, if you don't mind, to come and take these knees to the Lord tonight. Brother Baker requests prayer for financial blessing for his family. Let's remember them. Brother Samuel would like to thank the Lord that when doctors and medicines fail, Jesus does not. He appreciates what the Lord's doing in his life. Sister Linda Kreger wants to thank God for Wayne Barker. They asked the church to pray that he would get a job. The same week, he got the job. Praise the Lord for that. Also, my sister went to Mexico, couldn't get back for 2.5 years. We prayed, God answered in our prayers, and she is home. So, thankful for those testimonies tonight. Let's remember Dakota Harmon, who has a sinus infection. Also, remember Sister Donna Pistole going through a difficult time right now. And also, Sister Linda Kennedy turns in her prayer request. Please pray for me not feeling well. So let's remember her. If you'll stand tonight as Brother West comes. Just remember also Jonathan Boone. I don't know. He grew up with us here, cousin of ours. It's Wayne. I think that's Wayne's first cousin. Wayne Phillips' first cousin, I believe. Pretty close family member. They're a 10-year-old boy, I think. They've just found a brain tumor, and they're having to put a drain in, possibly do chemo through that. So I know that they would, they're dear, sweet people. I know they'd covet your prayer. So let's remember that boy tonight if we can. Thank you, Brother Willis.
Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for one more opportunity to come together and worship you, to praise your holy name, Lord. Lord, in a world where so many reject you and forget you and laugh at the sound of your name, and comedians make fun of you and make sport of you in public, Lord, and so many have just turned away and don't give their first thought or their first regard to you, Lord, we're here tonight to worship and to praise you and to let you know this is a place where we come to find peace, Lord, gathered together with the body to worship at your feet, Lord Jesus. And we want you to feel comfortable. We want you to feel the same thing, Lord. We want you to feel that same comfort when you come together with us. So, Lord, we make an offering of praise and worship to you tonight, Lord. And we hope that you find it acceptable with all of our hearts. Help us to lay aside the things of the world, Lord God, and focus only on you and your word, Lord God. Help us, Lord, as we lay all this in your hands tonight. And, Lord, these prayers and these prayer requests, Lord, we know that you are not some magic genie that just comes down and grants our wishes. Lord, we don't look at you that way. Lord, you respond to faith. And you've given us faith, Lord. It's the very faith you've given us that we're supposed to respond with. Lord, we take that shield of faith and we press in now. And we believe with our brothers and sisters who laid these requests up here tonight. They're already taken care of. They're already done. It's already answered. We know they're already in your hands and you're already at work. We know, Lord, by the faith you've given us, that we can believe on these things with our whole heart. We know, Lord, just as you forgive our sins and our shortcomings and our iniquities and everything else, Lord, that we lay in your hands, you also answer our prayers, Lord. If we just lay the faith back in your hands that you've given us, Lord, you can work. And Lord, we know that we can trust you in all these things. Lord, we commit this service into your hands. We trust you to take our brother back here who studied and prepared and prayed, Lord. We can trust that you're going to speak through him and that we can hear the words of life, Lord God. We know, Lord. We don't just think or hope, but we know that you are here tonight to commune with us, to talk with us, Lord. And that's what we come for. That's what we long for between each service, to come back together again with the body until that day we can be together forever in eternity, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all things that you're going to do. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes. See, you can be seated tonight, Master of the Wind. See. Let's start with that chorus.
Well, I know the Master of the Wind. I know the Maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. Master of the wind. Let's sing that chorus again. I know the master of the wind. Let's raise our hands to him tonight. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. Master of the wind, my boat of life, my boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend and he's watching over me.
I'm thankful for that tonight.
And I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm your storms, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
See if this sounds familiar.
Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It may bring me low, but it'll never bring down. 'Cause I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. I know the master of
in that chorus one more time.
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Amen. So thankful for that. If the brothers would like to come tonight and lift the offering, Brother Joel Brown handed me a note, and I was sure that it said I had a song, but come to find out, he wants to welcome some folks, the McLeod family from Indiana. So let's give them a hand tonight. Welcome to the service tonight. Glad to have you. Appreciate them being there. But Brother Joel did say if we really needed a song, he would do one for us. So if he don't mind to come and to give us a song. And while he's coming, let's sing The Church Is Going Higher in A. Is that okay? Well, the church is going higher than it's been before. Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintance on that golden shore. And the church is going higher than it's been before. The church is going higher than it's been before. Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. Church is going higher than it's been before. God's children have been battered, scorned on every hand. The world sees the church and says the ships are going down. But I've got good news that the world just can't ignore. Victory's already mine. I'm going higher than before. The church is going higher than it's been before. Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintance on that golden shore. And the church is going higher than it's been
Amen. God is good, is he not? I'm astounded at this thing called age. I never thought I'd get to where I couldn't remember words to songs, but here we are, 47 years down the road. And I know that's a baby yet, brother saying right here. I understand that. I get that. But in my space, in my place where I am, I'm getting old. But sometimes... But some time back, the Lord dropped this little song in my heart, and a brother from North Carolina had texted me just yesterday and was asking me about it, and it just stirred that old emotion within me, and Brother Joel mentioned it there, that it just came to me, and I just want to share it with you. And it's good to be reminded of what we believe and where we are, and to have something settled down within us. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Brothers and sisters, has the word caught your attention? Has the Spirit made a change within? Have you prayed for revelation? Have you sought the Lord this day for the voice to rapture you away? We'll sail beyond the heavens, be changed from here to there. We'll reach that true perfection, but wait, there's still more. These heights, they are the highest. These mysteries deep and great, no one can ever take my joy away. I have stepped into the vision, this way I'm certain of. It's the end.
time, revelation, spoken word, prophecy of Malachi 4. Here in this evening time, God promised that His light would shine to illuminate the path and make the way clear. But those carnal ones only deify this one who was prophesied to turn back the heart to the original way. Whoa, but I can only jump and shout because my soul is sure it can only be this great mystery of Malachi 4. These heights, they are the highest. These mysteries deep and great, no one could ever take my joy away. I have stepped into the vision, this way I'm certain of. It's the end time revelation, spoken word, prophecy of Malachi 4. In this evening time, God promised that His light would shine to illuminate my path and make my way clear. You believe that? But those carnal ones, they're trying to deify this one who was prophesied to turn back my heart to the original. That's what the word does. Oh, but I can only jump and shout because this soul is sure it can only be that great mystery of Malachi 4. These heights, they are the highest. These mysteries deep and great. No one could ever, ever, ever take my joy away. I've stepped into the vision, this way I'm certain of. It's the end time revelation, spoken word. It's the end time revelation, spoken word. It's the end time revelation, spoken word, prophecy of Malachi 4.
Amen.
Key of G, take up your cross. Appreciate that song tonight. When Brother Jimmy came up to play the piano tonight, he said, "I'm sorry." Is anybody sorry that he's over there tonight? I'm not. We appreciate our brother. I'm so thankful for the talent that we have. And Brother Jimmy, you do a great job. We appreciate you. You got one more song to do, though. Let's sing. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Let's sing, "Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus." Let's look forward to what Brother Donnie would have for, what the Lord would have for us tonight, and how He'd use Brother Donnie. Let's sing this. "Well, take up your cross, follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost.
Jesus, take up your cross.
Don't be ashamed. Say that you know Him. Oh, amen. Praise God. Let's sing it. Hallelujah. I'm as glad you got a cross tonight. I'm as glad you got grace to carry it. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I want you to listen now. He's going. He doesn't know where yet. Now you imagine God tells him to leave, but he don't know which direction. North, south, east, west. But he just says, go from your father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So the revelation is progressive. He obeys what God tells him. Then he shows him where to go. Now listen to verse 12. And I will consider and think about what? I will make. Now wait a minute. Is this fair? I mean, Abraham's not even consented yet. He's not agreed. You mean God can actually...
Oh, yes. Yes, He can.
Really? I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great.
Yes, sir.
What about consent? What about free moral agency? I mean, surely God is just, isn't He? God's going to do this before He even gets Abraham's permission? And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You mean God's already said this, and Abraham ain't even had time to say nothing yet? I mean, God didn't say, do you agree? I will. I will. I will. I will. God just saying, I will. I'm going to. I've already done it. I've made it. That's settled. This is how I believe free moral agency. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let's bow our heads together. How many like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Amen. Me too. God bless you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious word tonight, Father. We are so grateful. We know this is the foundation of our faith, even as Gentiles. I'm not sure if they called it or not, but they are identified in this verse of Scripture, just like the Jews. Take your word tonight, Lord Jesus, and speak to us. Maybe be able to see more clearly the grace of God that has been given to us. Unmerited favor on an unconditional covenant. Granted, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. To understand God properly, we must find God's unchanging, immutable nature. You know, the Godhead, if people don't know really much about the Bible, they don't know too much about Judeo-Christian principles and basics about God, and they would go to reading the New Testament, and they would, through traditional concept, maybe what mama taught them, what they learned whenever they went to Sunday school, they would begin to get a consensus or an idea of what they think the Godhead is. And they would start reading and trying to understand the Godhead from the New Testament. Now you see, from the New Testament, when you go to reading about the Father and the Son, and the Son this and the Father that, you can see why many people come up with an idea that there's more than one person in the Godhead. And if you read backwards from the New Testament to the Old, it's a lot easier to come up with a confusion, even of the very traits and characteristics of God. But if you understand from the Old Testament that there's only one God, then when you read the New Testament, when you hear Father and Son and Holy Ghost, you already know that there's only one God in the Old, so there can only be one in the New. So then you understand that it is attributes of the same God, not another person or two more people that was identified in the Old Testament. Now, you know, I found myself in studying and looking at the Scripture and trying to understand God's own nature, that it's not only the Godhead that is that way, but election, predestination, sovereignty, mercy, many, many things about God, that if we understand Him correctly from the Old, and then when we go to reading the New, and whenever grace comes into clear view, we will not change His immutable character, but we will simply follow true to form what His character was in the Old Testament. Now, if we try to understand election from the basis of what people's conception is about grace, this is where many people really, really struggle with trying to understand foreordained, foreknowledge, predestinate, predestination, elect, election, elected, and they try to understand it from a preconceived idea of what they think grace really is. That absolutely every mortal is pretty much on the same basis. And when they go to hearing a preacher talking about election, oh my, they can't even comprehend it. They can't understand it at all. But if you go to looking at election from the Old Testament and running it from the Old to the New, and it goes to blowing your old ideas out of the water of Arminianism, then you can understand why the very principle of God, whenever the apostolic Christians would have heard Paul talking about election and predestination and foreknowledge and foreknown, they would have had no trouble at all, the Jewish Christians, in believing that God could pick out one people above everybody else. Their entire faith was based upon such principles. So therefore, whenever they would hear Paul write about an Ephesians 1, verse 3, you hear him write about it, Romans 8, you hear him all through the Scripture, 1 Peter, on down through that, they would hear the men of God write about it and preach about it. They could have said amen with no struggle. Because remember, this was pre-Arminianism, so they would have not had the tradition of election, free moral agency so-called, the Baptist idea, the Pentecostal idea, that many of us have struggled and struggle with. They would have not had that struggle at all. Because the basis of their belief, the Jewish belief, was that God had picked out one man out of all the millions of people that were on the face of the earth. And God made His covenant with that one man. That one man we just read about, and it was Abram. Now, so then, to being a Jewish person that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they would have not struggled and trying to understand, well, now, wait a minute, what about this whosoever will group, and what about this? As a matter of fact, when the early Christians would have heard some of these things, the Scripture in Revelation, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely, it wasn't even written. John 3:16 wasn't even written down in the Bible yet. It had been spoken by Jesus, but it had not been written down. So the preconceived idea that many of us come to the message with, and it takes us 10, 15, 20, 25 years to break through all the traditional concept, they did not have that. So they did not have a grandma that sat down, or a mom, or a daddy, and they was all good truth and sincerity, try to sit down and explain the Bible and fill their heads with a bunch of tradition and nonsense. They never had that, because the New Testament was not even written yet for the false teachers to be able to take it and build this idea. So they would have believed it upon what basis, Brother Jim? The truth that they knew that God had elected Abraham above all the people that lived upon the earth. So when they heard Jesus talk about election, when they heard Peter talk about it, when they heard Paul talk about it, they would not have struggled the way even message people struggle today, because they did not have the tradition in their head to hinder them.
Amen.
I'll be glad when we get rid of it myself. Oh my. Now I want you to notice this, that whenever God began to call this man in chapter 12 verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now remember, this is God upon what basis choosing Abram. Now at this time he's not yet Abraham, but he is Abram. Upon his own sovereignty. So far to none of these sevenfold promise that God's give to Abraham, has Abraham even had a chance or an opportunity to say, okay, I will. God hasn't even given him the opportunity. God just said, I'm going to do it. Now watch, Brother Abraham comes and he says, here comes Abel, knowing that it wasn't apples or fruits. God didn't dwell in beauty or in sincerity. Listen to this. He dwells in election and calling. So you see, election and calling are not just a doctrine, but God actually dwells in election and calling. So when we would fight these things, we are actually fighting part of the dwelling or the habitation of God. Election is not just a theory, friend. It is part of the dwelling. So if God dwells in election and calling, it must be part of heaven, right? So he said he dwells in election and calling. So then he's talking about Abel again. So he wraps his vine around the lamb's neck, and there it comes moving up to the altar. Now, we've been looking at the bride and the church and the foolish virgin, the 144,000, how that the last will and testament contains different categories of people. They receive according to the defined decree of God. In the foolish virgin, they have many, many wonderful things. Many things that God has given to them. Totally undeserving, and the mercy of God gives it to them. The 144,000 that will be redeemed at the opening of the sixth seal in reality, whenever the bride is gone, they will receive many, many blessings from the Lord. The foolish virgin, the Gentile group that all stand together, Matthew 25:41, when they stand before God, they also will receive many, many things right there. As far as being worthy, they're not worthy at all. But that's not, of course, the bride. Now, in their part of the last will and testament, it does not include election. It does not include eternal security. It does not include many things that the will of the elect includes. Why? Because God said so, simply. Upon the basis that he chose to give the bride many, many things that is not given to other people. And it is his good, so he can do with it what he wants. Right? You'll agree with that. Eternal life is his. Healing is his. Miracles is his. All of this is his. If he wants to give miracles only to the bride, he could have said that, but that ain't what he said. If he wanted to give salvation only to the bride, he could have said that, but that ain't what he said. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Let him drink. If they want to, come and drink. Right? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, so let him come. Right? We're not jealous of that, are we? But when it comes to certain stipulations that are of the person personal attributes of God that come to his intimate part, that is reserved for his sweetheart or his wife. Now, watch this again in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Now, listen to this. You know, because a lot of people have a struggle, and they still struggle with the difficulty that God actually makes certain men of a great name. Now, in the message, we hear it preached on a lot, and I even preached on it myself, but there are people of what we call big names, preachers that are big names. And yet, at the same time, there is a truth to this, that God gives some men a great or a big name. It does not mean that all men's names are the same. And it is actually a blessing from God when God does it. Now, if men try to make themselves great, of course, you know that comes to naught. But here, part of the blessing of God on Abraham's life is a big name, a great name. Y'all didn't know this is the Bible. I'm sorry. Now, this is what God said. I will make thy name great. Look at the meaning of it. To grow, become great or important, promote, make powerful, praise, magnify, do great things. So it is in the sovereignty of God, always has been, to make an allocation to some men to make them big named. They are not big because of the size of their body. They're not big because they want to be, but God chooses to make men some men that are great. Now you realize it's very difficult then for other men who are not given a great name. They will tend to attack those who are given a great name and always say it in a derogatory manner to try to make fun of or ridicule. Well, it's only the big name preachers that get to preach conventions, and only the big name preachers get to do this, that, and the other. Now, we need to be very careful when we're doing this, because there is a part of this that actually comes from God. Well, praise the Lord. Now, this is what God said, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So a great name, then, given by God, is actually a great blessing. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. As I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off thine enemies out of thy sight, God speaking to David, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Now here again we have an extension of the Abrahamic covenant that is given to David. Was this given to every seed of Abraham? It was not. Now here God is telling David, look what I've done for you, David. I took you out of the sheep coat. I raised you up, you as nobody, but I have given you a great name among great men. Now, God did not say that David's name was the greatest name, but he had given him, as we would call today, a big name. Does David have a big name in your memory? Do you remember David's brothers' names? Why? What's the matter with you folks? Y'all got respect to persons. Now, how come David's brothers' names don't stick out? Do anybody remember his dad? What about his mom? His cousins? His cousins' names are in the Bible. They're great men. You mean you don't remember them? Why? Because God never gave them the great name he gave David. So you see, even among the elect, God will put difference of varieties. Now, it's the same in ministries, that God will give certain men a ministry, you know, and they may preach at conventions and go here and go there and travel the world. Other men that's not invited to that, if they're not careful, they'll fight them with everything they've got. Well, big name so-and-so, big name so-and-so, instead of being able to look in the Bible and recognize God has always done that. But you see, you'll never get off the ground. I told Brother Darren many, many years ago, whenever I first came here, I said, Brother Darrell, remember this. Going out to preach and being what God wants you to be, you're in no fit place to be used by God until you can watch God use somebody, even maybe a little better and greater than he uses you. Because if not, you will judge it upon jealousy. And then you'll try to find some fault with a man, when the bottom line is basically you're jealous because God is using the man greater than you are. Only God can do that, friends. And same way with people's ability to play music or sing or whatever more, we ought to rejoice that God gives us gifts and things among us. But you know how it is with preachers. They tend to get jealous. Singers tend to get jealous. Musicians, oh my, why am I preaching this way tonight? They tend to get jealous of one another. But if we can only be what God has has made us. You know, look at David. Was it because David wanted a big name? He never asked God for it. Abram never asked God for a big name. God gave it to him. Think of the men around the message that we know, and many of them how are great men and they have great names, and yet there's other men around the message that love God just as much as they do, and they'll never be known outside of their little village, maybe in Africa or maybe in their little country, you know, maybe two or three brothers they go preach for, but yet do they love God with all of their heart? Well, why don't God give them a great name? Well, if they're living maybe in a certain part of Africa, they wouldn't have the means to get out anyway if they had a great name. Some of our brothers in Africa don't have an automobile. Some of them do not have a means to be able to get about. What good would it do to give them a great name if they do not have the ability to be able to make known? You understand? So when God gives a man a certain thing, God gives them also the ability in order to express what he's given him. Remember when Brother Branham talks about this, and he said, I was thinking about myself, and he said how that at one time a little poor, you know, poor boy, and nobody wouldn't have nothing to do with him. And he said, I thought about David, how that God had said to David, I've given you a name among great men. And then Brother Branham likens this scripture and unto himself. How many think God give Brother Branham a great name? Well, of course, if you believe the message, you do. But yet, why? What is the name, even in this age, that the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, and different ones of them on YouTube are talking about his gift, his anointing, his supernatural, all this and that and the other? Is it Oral Roberts the one to be like? Is it some of the others that want to be like? Why is it they want what they call William Branham's anointing? Because it surpassed all the rest of them put together. Now, what is it? They may hate his name. They may not like his name at all. But God gave him a great name in spite of whether they like it or not. Is that right? So God is going to give to Abraham a great name. Now, in the three great major religions of the world, which would be Judaism, Mohammedism, and Christianity, all of them have a tie to Abraham. But even if they did not, yet Abraham's name is known around the world. And yet when you think of it, who did this? It is the blessing of God that is still being fulfilled to this very day. You believe this? Now watch, God says that he would give David that name in a similar way. Now watch again in Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now in these verses, I'm going to go into them to point it out to you, but in these verses is a sevenfold promise that God makes to Abraham. But if you want to write it down so you can kind of parallel study it on your own. In Genesis chapter 6 verses 4 through 8, you'll find also a sevenfold blessing when God sends Moses down to raise the children of Israel and bring them to the promised land. You find also a sevenfold blessing which matches the sevenfold blessing that God gave to him. Now, so the people of the hour receiving the message of that day, they're coming under the promised word of what God gave to Abraham hundreds and hundreds of years prior to this. And the church said, amen. Now watch in verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed. Now wait a minute. This man ain't got no seed. He ain't got no children. You mean before he's got children, God's making a promise with children that are not even born yet? You mean God can do this? Well, wait a minute. I thought that God would have to wake and ask their permission and then ask them if it's okay if he does that, and then say, okay, now that you've given me your permission, and permission has been granted to me, thank you for that very much, and now that you've granted me your permission, now I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make my covenant with you. But you mean you all actually believe that before they were even born? Hundreds and hundreds of years before they were ever born. He had not one son yet. Not one. And God says, I'm making my covenant not only with you, but with your seed after you. So God could make a covenant with the head of the race. And the head of the race identified with the covenant, and the recipients or the followers of the seed of that race would receive the benefits. So God could do that to Abraham. Could he not do it to Jesus Christ, being the head of the new race? Then if the head of the new race was the covenant, amen, what about the seed of that covenant as well? Now watch, in Genesis, oh my, let me again, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now notice, this is not based upon Abraham's worship first. Okay, worship me, pray, read your Bible, study, do this, and then I'll make you these promises. The promises preceded worship. The promises preceded. As a matter of fact, God made these promises in the scripture, said, and Abraham believed on the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham actually believed after God called him, not before.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Notice this again, the faith of Abraham. The prophet said the promise was made to Abraham, not because he was a great man, not because that he was a religious man, but it was God's foreknowledge. By election, he chose Abraham. God chose you. You never chose God. God chose you. Jesus said, no man, oh my, can come to me except my Father draws him first. Some people say, oh, I sought God. That's a mistake. You don't seek God. God seeks you. But friends, the thing that you're remembering that day when it struck you, or that night when it struck you, when you think that was you, that was your election working on you. That wasn't you. That was the divine sovereignty of God. But Brother Donnie, I remember it plain. Sure you do. And the reason you remember it, because it's God's sovereignty, not your own choice. Amen. Genesis 13:14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Upon what basis did God do it? Choice. His choice. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Notice the sequence of this, friend. It's not after God sees his obedience and sees his desire and sees his faithfulness. Oh my, stays upon that and reads his Bible. He prays and he's a good boy. My, says his prayers when he goes to sleep at night. And then God makes all these lavish, wonderful promises. God makes him these promises when he's a heathen. God makes him these promises when he's an idol worshiper. Glory. Why, he knew the elect seed would override his idolatry. Abraham's grace covenant, the prophet said. Now he made it to Abraham. Not Abraham, if you'll do a certain thing, I'll make a great nation of you and make you the father of nations. He said, I have done it. Remember, the promise is altogether grace and no law mixed in it at all. Not any ifs at all. It's absolutely God's choosing of Abraham. It wasn't Abraham's desire. Glory. He was a heathen. May I bring it on down? It wasn't your desire. You was a heathen. It wasn't my desire. I was a heathen. You was a heathen. You was a heathen. It wasn't our desire, Brother Skip. It was the grace of God. Hallelujah. Why was it? Because it is part of our will and testament. It wasn't Abraham's desire. He was a heathen. He came down from the Tower of Babel, down in the valley of Shinar, in the land of the Chaldeans, in the city of Ur. And he said he was an ordinary man. Nothing Abraham done. Not even his desires. But God, by grace and election, chose Abraham. That's the way he chose. need. Oh, hallelujah. Again, he says, now watch, Abraham was called by election. Nothing Abraham did. Now you see, for Armenians who try to study election from the New Testament backwards, this is why they struggle. But when you look at election from the old covenant, run it right up through the new, then you look and see this is God's attribute. This is where God dwells, in the land of election. You're being called back home. Not only to heaven, but to the land where you come from. The land of election. Glory. Oh, glory to God. Nothing Abraham did. And now notice the covenant, Genesis 12. The whole covenant was given to Abraham. The whole covenant is completely grace. Amen. See, not Abraham, if you'll do a certain thing, I'll do a certain thing. It wasn't, if you'll do this, I'll do this. God makes a covenant with a man, and man always breaks his covenant. He told Adam, if you'll not eat from the tree, you'll live. But Adam ate from it. He told the covenant that he'd made at the Mosaic covenant in the wilderness there. They broke it. He knew they would. Oh my. Notice he goes on to say, when God in Genesis 12 called Abraham, it was by election. It wasn't because Abraham was good. It wasn't because Abraham deserved it. It was because God chose Abraham. Not Abraham choosing God. It was God choosing Abraham. And that's the way he calls his seed too. Not what you want to be. Not him that willeth or him that runneth. But God that showeth mercy. Is that the scripture? Listen, he caps it off of this. It's not what you want to be. It's what God has chose you to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If there's any Armenians in this after this service tonight, I don't know about you. Genesis chapter 15 verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now not do you want me to be. Now I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to be your shield. And I'd like to be your reward. I'd like to be your provider. I'd like to do all these things. But of course you understand, Abraham, since you're an Armenian, that I cannot do any of this unless it's written by your permission. Would you please take this piece of paper and sign it down. I, Abraham, give God, almighty, omnipotent, sovereign God, permission. No. Brother Bram said, if he could save me without my will, what can he do with me now that I've given my will? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Notice verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall. Not possibly, maybe, perhaps, I'm thinking about it. If we can come to terms, so shall thy seed be. And he believed. You mean to tell me God made these promises? And Abraham wouldn't even be a believer yet. God called you before the foundation of the world. God had your name placed on the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you come here, you wasn't even a believer yet. But it was still there. God orchestrated a certain path in your life. Maybe had somebody to go into a certain place and leave a message book sitting there or a tape being there. They themselves might not be nothing no more than a carrier. They may have carried it and read and said, I don't even believe this thing. And they left it laying there and you come in the bathroom. As it happened over in Zimbabwe several years ago, and a brother come into the bathroom and the guy got that message book and got real mad at what Brother Branham was saying, tore that book in half and threw it in the trash.
and walked a predestinated seed, going to the bathroom, washed his hands and dried them, threw the paper towel over there, and went over and found that lower half of the bottom part of that book. On the bottom part of that book was the Voice of God address in the United States of America. Hallelujah. Think, if that man would have put the top half in there, Voice of God didn't put their address on the top half. They put it on the bottom half on the back page and on the inside of the front page. So what did he do? He threw the right half in the garbage. So people can call it garbage if they want to. They can call it trash if they want to. But God knew that man would do that. All he was a carrier. That's all my mail lady is, and your mail man or mail woman, whatever they are. Them letters are not addressed to them. They are addressed to me. So they are a carrier, and they come through 5 days a week. Oh, man. But aren't you glad your letters are addressed to you personally? God's got his seed word and got you personally addressed to it. Amen. Notice this. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for right. You mean all this chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, and up to this part of chapter 15, God is dealing with this man, and he ain't yet even believed. Well, wouldn't God think this might be a little bit risky? Now, if you're dealing with a righteous man, it would be. Remember how we looked at it last week? How scarcely it is for a righteous man to be saved. That's a lot. There ain't no scarcity when it comes to seed. God ain't taking no risk whatsoever. Oh my. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee up out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Verse 18. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given. They're not even born. This is election pre-Arminianism. Now you see, you free will Baptists, you're still struggling, ain't you? You legalist Pentecostals, you're still struggling. Why? Because you're reading it backwards. Don't go over here or come over here and read it this way. Go to Genesis. 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 That's the seed chapter of the book. Glory. Notice, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. The only thing about Abram making one with God. I've given to thy seed, I've given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now this was God's own covenant, unconditional. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. As far as I'm concerned, my covenant is with you and no one else on the face of the earth. Now remember, he had no seed yet. So the only one that had this covenant standing right there in present tense was God and Abraham. And God is putting it on his own basis. God has said, now, it means you can come to terms now. I'm telling you, this will really be to your advantage. I mean, I'll bless you and I'll do it. But of course, Abraham, you understand how this is. I mean, I can't do it if you won't help me. I mean, I can't do it if you won't let me. Remember, God said, as far as I'm concerned, as for me, my covenant is with you. Mm. And thou shalt be a father in many nations. Now wait a minute, where's permission? God's already taken this for granted that Abraham accepts. God could take for granted you would. There's no risk. There's no risk involved with seed. He'll go ahead and glorify you. knows him. He's called and he's justified and he's already glorified. Yes, the theophany body is already there waiting. Why? There's no risk involved at all, this elect. Amen. It is eternal, friends. There is no risk at all. As for me, you imagine before the foundation of the world, when he thought about himself and his attributes, and he could say the same thing to his attributes. As for me, my covenant, my seed is with you. Thoughts.
Amen.
Right. You couldn't even think. You couldn't wave a hand. You didn't have a hand. It was a thought in his mind. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of nations have I made. Wow. Isn't this rude? I mean, you're asking a man, you're not even asking him. I was thinking about changing your name because your name has an effect on who you are. Now, you know yourself, Abram means high father. High father. But Abram so far has produced no children, high father. Because ain't nobody saying hi to you and calling you father. But I'm going to change your name to Abraham, father of many nations. Well, maybe now, God, don't you think you need Abraham's consent? Is this all right with you? God says, I'm changing your name. Okay, fine. No problem. There's no risk involved when you're dealing with the elect. You don't have to baby them. Don't have to make them 13th deacon, 14th piano player, 13th trustee. You don't have to promise them this, promise them that. They are the Word. And when the Word said before them, all their old flesh may struggle. But when they get born of the Spirit of God, that seed inside of them says, amen to the Word. And you don't just say amen by their mouth. Their life punctuates the Word by a lived voice. Oh! Thank you, Lord. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come of thee. Now, friends, I realize I'm simple, okay? I didn't graduate from high school. I didn't go to college. I have no seminary training. But maybe I'm all wet. But whose will I see emphasized in this ain't Abraham's. It's God's. It ain't God saying, I will if you will, you will if I will, I will if you will. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's God saying, I will, I have. And Abraham saying, amen, amen, amen. I'll take it, I'll take it. I want it, I want it. Praise be to God. I'll tell you one thing. With me and say, I want to bless you if you'll let me. Well, let's settle that deal right now. Bless me, Lord. You want to help me? You want to heal me? You want to do good? Do good all the days of my life. Let's get this plum out of the way. Pour it on me, Jesus. Come on, children. Why be stubborn and hard-headed? My, if God's got something in his mind for you, you ought to take every bit of it. Hallelujah. You want to be the child like this that God can say, I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do that, and God don't have to wait for your permission. He's got it. Oh, Jesus. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. Amen. To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. If God could do this to a heathen, what did God make with his own son? Amen. And his seed after him. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Was the seed of Abraham, did they have as much faith as Abraham did? No, many of them didn't. Are you and I as faithful as Christ was? No. But the covenant was made with our head. And I'm a part of the family. I receive benefits by being in this family of Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord.
And I will give unto thee, unto thy seed, unto thee. Remember, they're not born. They're not born. They can't say yes. I'll think about it. Let me pray about it. God said it's already done. The land whereon thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Amen. Was that their consent?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Children, we ought to be shouting about right now. My, we ought to have our joy shoes on. Yes,
there again, maybe I'm wrong, but what I hear is God's will. I will, I will, I have, I will. This is what I hear, God's will.
Amen.
Notice this. Election must work in an unconditional covenant. Now, in the beginning, when God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He placed them on a conditional one. It must be. If God would have placed them on an unconditional covenant, they could have sinned. Sin could have come into their mortal bodies, and death could have never severed them. So the first covenant must be conditional. Even the Sinai covenant in time was conditional. But the covenant of Abraham's seed was unconditional. Now down to the kings and the judges and many of them down to the inheritance of the land they would get was conditional. Oh my, boy, we could go into something now. Let me tell you something. The condition of peace you have, the condition of healing, the condition of blessings you have, that's on conditions. But your soul ain't on conditions. It's unconditional. The covenant, as far as the promise to the seed of Abraham, was unconditional. But the land, they were going to inherit was upon condition. Lord, if you could separate yourself and see the conditional covenant that God's give to you. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Will they stay recovered? They may get sick again. Why? Because it's the simple condition of your land, like the children of Israel. If God had put the land on an unconditional covenant, they would have never been driven to Babylon. They would have never lost their inheritance. But the land itself was on a conditional covenant, but the soul of real Israel was unconditional. Your soul is unconditional. Your healing, your peace, your joy, much of what you are in that is conditions. You don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't come to church, don't expect much victory because you ain't going to have much. Why? Conditions. But that ain't your soul. God will get your soul if He has to hit your hard head with a 10-pound sledgehammer in your old land to get your land's attention. Right? Notice that, but when it comes to an unconditional covenant, had He placed it, as I said, in the Garden of Eden, man could have sinned and he could have never been cast out. But He placed him, the very first covenant was on what? Conditions. In the day you eat thereof, that day you shall die. Adam, don't touch this. Adam, bring this in dominion. Adam, do this and Adam, do that. Adam never kept the condition. Now hang tight. He lost his land, not his soul. Adam was not lost. Eve was not lost. You may lose your peace. You may lose your joy because of your unbelief and your sins and whatever more. But if your name is on that Lamb's book, you won't lose your soul. It's not losable. Oh, hallelujah. Yet you can be deprived in this life of the joy God wants you to have because of your stubbornness and hard-headedness or whatever more. That's your land, not your soul. My praise be to God. Notice as the prophet said, he made the covenant unconditional. It isn't just exactly that he made it just because it was. It was with Abraham. He didn't say, now Abraham, if you'll do this, if you will do that, Abraham, I've done it already. It ain't nothing you've got to do. I've done it myself. Amen. Oh, my, when I think of that, God did it himself. Unconditional. God's covenant is unconditional. So what about your peace? Stop reading your Bible. Stop coming to church. Start filling your mind with a bunch of trash and nonsense and movies and whatever more. Never take time to read your Bible. Never take time to listen to the prophet of God preach. You see how much victory you've got in your walk with God. Is that God's fault? That ain't God's fault. It's yours. And for some of that stuff, you can't even blame the devil. The devil is a lot of message folks scapegoat. Even God won't lay your laziness on the devil's side. Come on now, don't get quiet on me, Happy Valley. That's exactly right. Does that mean you will lose your soul? No. When the children of Israel sinned, they lost what? Their land. They lost their land and they were driven to Babylon. They were driven here and there and there. They were scattered all over the earth. Did they lose their covenant? Never. Never. God said, I can never forget Israel. I can lie because the covenant was made with Abraham and their soul. Yet they still don't have their land back in full possession today. Oh, praise God. You say, well, brother, I quit eating meat. I don't do this, brother. I don't have one thing to do with it. It isn't whether you eat meat or don't eat meat. Keep Sabbath days or new moons, or whether you go to Sunday school on Sunday, or what it is, you are saved unconditional. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, this was the Baptist in Brother Branham. No, it was the God in Brother Branham. The Baptist didn't start unconditional, you know, this based upon this covenant. God did. I just read it to you. When God sent this to Abraham, this is pre-Baptist. Oh, my. You're saved unconditional. Then you say, Brother Branham, if I'm saved, glory to God, I can do what I want to do. Yes, sir. And if you're saved, brother, you have no desire of nothing of the world. Your whole heart centered on that. You can't keep away from it. As long as there's a tug there, you know there's something wrong yet. Now, election. God called Abraham and told him he was going to save him unconditional. Friends, can't you see the middle of the road is always the right way? Can't you see why through centuries, down through the church ages, people have took scriptures and said, bless God, people can be saved and be lost. And other people say, no, you can't be lost. You got eternal security. Jesus said, my sheep have eternal life and you can't be lost. Both of them were right. But the problem was they weren't seeing two groups. The eternal security applied to the bride, glory to God. And the backsliding didn't apply to the bride. Come on. They was both right in the schools of thought, but they didn't see the bride and the church there. Don't you see how blessed we are to live in the end time when the wheel is coming open so clear that we can find ourselves, but not only ourselves. We see them. We see the Jews. We see all of this out here. Thank God we're getting our Father's mind to know what He wants done with His Word. Hallelujah. Oh my. God told Abraham, I blessed you and I made you a father. Not I will, I have. I've made you. And you'll come to me in an old age. You're going to be saved. I've already done it. I've already said so. You ain't got nothing to do with it. It's unconditional. God determined to have His church. Oh my. Every time He made a covenant with man, man breaks his covenant and yet does yet today. Man will always break his covenant with God, but God can't break His covenant with man. Are any of you going to sit here and tell me you ain't sinned since you've been a Christian? I'm going to cast that lying devil off of you. Oh, Brother Donnie, since I got the Holy Ghost, I ain't never done nothing wrong. Come here, you liar. I agree, your soul ain't, but that old stinking flesh of yours ain't got the Holy Ghost. You got to keep it subject to the Word of God every day. There's more friends to sin than lying and lust and cussing. Come on, and you lose that temper of yours. You think that's righteous? You go to running that tongue of yours, gossiping, receiving accusations against brothers and sisters. That is sin. Amen. Oh, my. Amen. Everybody all right?
Yes,
good, good. I want to read you this one now. Now we find that God's church is not the will of the people. It's election. Election isn't God. God called Abraham the founder of their faith. You see, friends, how folks get it backwards. So they come to the New Testament and they go to poring over the scriptures of grace, and the way they look at it, my, everybody's exactly the same. Oh, the Jews is God's chosen people. Now that's right, they was. So God quit choosing when there's no more Jews? Most every denomination will agree. Yes, sir, Israel is God's chosen people. Well, that ain't the only ones chosen. Look at it from the Old Testament. His seed after him. Now watch. We find that God's church is not the will of the people. It's election. Election isn't God. God called Abraham the founder of our faith. Beginning. God was the founder, of course. But Abraham in the beginning was called out of Chaldea, the city of Ur, of the plains of Shinar, not with any merit of his own. God saved him unconditional and gave him the promise of all his seed. Unconditional. So I wonder then if Abraham would sit in some of our message churches who preach that if God picks certain ones, it's respect of person. Wonder what Abraham would say. He did me. If they said, well, if God chooses one person above another, that ain't right. I don't believe Abraham could hold his peace.
Amen.
I believe Abraham would say, excuse me, brother. He did me.
God can't choose you until you give him your will.
Abraham would have to think, are you my seed? Are you sure you're in the message?
Now, God calls one man, he's got to call everybody.
Abraham's eyebrows would wrinkle, and he'd reach up and finger his beard and say, excuse me, brother. He did me.
It ain't fair if God picks out one man and gives him all them blessings, this and the other.
Abraham said, brother, I hate to keep interrupting your sermon, but he did me.
I'll tell you one thing, God can't choose you, you choose him.
But this time Abraham's righteous indignation is getting by like a teapot.
He did me.
Glory.
You see, friends, Arminianism changes God's nature the way Trinitarianism changes his Godhead.
Boy, that was a big mouthful. I hope you got it.
Arminianism alters and changes God's nature the way Trinitarianism changes his Godhead. Trinitarianism, you'd never heard of it. Never heard of it in the Old Testament. Never. For the apostles to hear of such a thing, never. So when did it come into view? When they begin to write the New Testament, then these Trinitarians are anointed of hell. The theologians begin to read in that way. Wait a minute, now here's the Father, and here's the Son, and here's the Son, and here's the Father. And, oh my goodness, well, there's the Son getting baptized, and then there's the Father saying the words, and then there's the Holy Ghost coming down the form of a dove. There's three beings. There's three gods.
The apostles who preached it and stood right there at the river whenever that happened, they never believed in three. Where'd it come from? Going out of that frog's mouth. That unclean spirit's come out. Praise the Lord.
So what did it do? It alters the Godhead. What does Arminianism do? It projects to us that God is evil, mean, and wicked. Yes. If he elects. And they'll scream and holler and baptize in Jesus' name and tell the Trinitarians are going to hell. Bless God, you're changing God's nature. And when you apply that to God's nature about election, you're doing the same thing, you false prophet. Brother Bram didn't say God dwelt in water baptism, but God dwells in election. Can I have a few more minutes? Ooh. Jesus, when he come along, he said, no man can come except my Father draws him. You didn't have nothing to do about coming to God then. God draws you to Jesus. And all that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. I believe that God set examples. He said, saved Abraham unconditional. He made a covenant with man. And man always breaks his covenant. But man has always tried. Now listen. Man has always tried to find some way to save himself. This is why people will not let go of Arminianistic thinking about their free moral agency. Your fig leaf, my friend, is your free moral agency. Well, I can save myself or I can condemn myself. If I don't want to go to heaven, bless God, I'll refuse it. And if I want to save myself, I'll say yes. What size fig leaf do you wear? So you're trying to save yourself by your will. What is it? Will worship. That's why folks won't give it up. Will worship. Your free moral agency is what you got in the office mess ever was in your life. God's grace is what got you out. Man is always trying to find some way to save himself, try to make himself. It comes from restraint in the Garden of Eden. When man realized he'd sinned, he tried to make himself a religion, a covering. The word religion means a covering. Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a religion. And since then, it's been a strain of man down through the age trying to do something to save himself. But the elect can give up everything. The elect can say it wasn't my desire, it wasn't my will, it wasn't my intention, it wasn't my purpose, it wasn't my choice, it wasn't my calling. People who are trying to save themselves, they protect all of these. Now, bless God, I remember I went down to the altar and I'd done this and I give $35 in the offering that night. I remembered it. I'd done this and I'd done that. What size fig leaf did you say you were? And the elect stand there. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Not my desire, not my will, not my nature. You spoke and my nature sought you. What? That leaves you without any religion. That leaves you without anything to bring. Then you're totally dependent on him. But notice those who keep falling back to what they done. Then when they don't do right, they can never have victory. They can never live above a sanctified life. As long as they're doing good and praying and reading the Bible and this and this and oh my, they feel so good. It's self-righteousness. But whenever you're truly born of the Spirit of God, you know in your worst days, he's still righteous. And you ask God to forgive you of what's wrong. Come on now. We don't do whatever we want to do. When we mess up, we ask God to forgive us. But we're not bringing that in our hands. We're bringing his righteousness, not ours. Oh, thank God. You are saved by grace, election, God's foreknowledge, predestination, foreordination. Paul tells the church at Ephesus that God predestinated us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Think of it. Predestinated us in Christ before the foundation of the world. What are we worried about then? Get away from the worry. Can't you see what legalism produces?
Worry. Am I going to make it? Oh, no. Oh, no. I had this bad thought today. Oh, no. I didn't do this yesterday. Oh, God, I forgot to do that. Oh, Lord, have I praised you enough? Lord, have I read my Bible enough? Can you ever read it enough? Can you ever pray enough? Can you ever listen to enough tapes? Had a person under that legal list. Friend, I've lived under that in Pentecost. You've heard me tell it before. I got to a place in Pentecost. I fasted 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, 10 days, 14 days. And if I didn't fast every week, I didn't think God was going to use me. Not only me, I've seen my wife sitting right there so weak laying in the bed she couldn't even get out of the bed from fasting. Under such legalism, if I don't do it, God won't anoint me. If I don't do it, I refuse to get back under that legalism in this message. Do I live right? I sure do. Do I live holy? I sure do. But it ain't my holiness. It ain't my living right that I stand before God on. It is Jesus Christ the Word. Because there's times I messed up. There's times I've fallen short of the glory of God. But every time I fall short, He's still high. Every time I low, He's still high. Every time I may not be faithful, He is still faithful. Get away from the worry. We're just the happiest creatures that could ever have seen. My, how can you believe that and keep from being happy? Come on, Happy Valley. Listen. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is this given to you? God's grace. This was allocated in the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. There'll be some that'll come up that day. As I mentioned to you Wednesday night, I was sick and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. Well, when did we do that? When you did this to the least of my brethren. Here's the Lord Jesus putting the differentiation in the New Testament, not the old, in the New Testament of these people. And one group, He classifies them as brothers. And this other group will go in, when you did this to my brothers, you've done it to me. Wow. Why? He's the executor. That's what He says. That's the way it is. Well, I don't understand it. That doesn't really matter. If your daddy dies and has a big, large estate and leaves you $532,000 worth of bubble gum, enjoy. Well, I'm going to go back and change it. Well, I believe Daddy messed up. If it's a legal recognized document, whether or not it makes any sense to you, that's what you get. So have fun, Big Jaws. If you give your brothers 3 packs of donuts and 2 cows and a donkey and a goat and whatever more, if that's what the will says, that's what you're going to get. If the will says there's a bride, there's a bride. If the will says there's a church, there's a church. If the will says there's a foolish virgin, 144,000, then there is. Glory. Don't you love Him? Now, can you imagine? We look at it now with our human understanding. We say, how does all that work? But when it's all rolled right back into the eighth day, none of those foolish virgins, none of those 144,000 which are not bride, none of them will feel like they got shortchanged. Every one of them in their category will be so happy. Sadness had a day it started. Gloom had a day it started. There won't be nobody gloomy there. The foolish virgin will, oh, I'm foolish virgin. I wish I could talk. There won't be none of that. They'll be so happy. And they'll look at you when they come in with such honor and respect and love. And yet, we'll not be arrogant, because arrogant had a day it started. Amen. And we'll not be boastful, because boasting had a day it started.
Everybody will just be in their place, and there'll be the kings, and there'll be all this there, and it'll all one gigantic, massive population on the earth was nobody ever sad. Nobody said, that ain't fair. He don't like me. He didn't shake my hand. Glory to God, that devil will be gone. Hallelujah. All those things that started in time will cease to exist. Praise God. Praise God.
Don't you love Him with all your heart? Look, children, let's not be proud and arrogant and think you're something. It has nothing to do with you. Don't blow your chest out and become a stuffed shirt. Boy, I must be something. You are. You are. I'm going to take the lid off this Gatorade. I want you to stick your finger down in it. Then I want you to show me the hole. That's what you are. Were it not for the grace of God. Brother Donnie, my, preaching like this, it'll produce a sinful church. No. Not if they're born again, it won't. I'm afraid to preach that. I'm afraid to preach it. Well, get them filled with the Holy Ghost. They can take the word then. They'll live right. Oh, there may be some go out of here that's Baptist message people. And they'll live any way they want to. They ain't going to the rapture. No way if that's their attitude. Amen. But to the real Queen of Heaven, to see what God's done for her. It humbles her. It shames her in that sense. Oh, my goodness. Don't it? We realize we're not worthy. We're not good enough. It's Him that done it. Unconditional. But now remember, your peace, your joy, your healing, your peace in your home, that's your land. You can be kicked to Babylon. Your temple can be burned. You can have all kinds of things happen to you if you get out of fellowship with God. But your soul is eternally secure. My. We're going to pray. I don't know the way you feel. I don't just want my soul to be saved. I want everything I can have in this life, Brother Greg, that God wants me to have. Now, I don't want yours. I don't want other preachers' blessings. I can't be what God's made them. But I want everything that's under my name in this will. If I can be happy, why would I want to be like this? You got the victory? Are you so grateful? Can you wait to church? Joy unspeakable, brother. Must be unlookable, too, if you look on your face. We ought to be happy. If I can be well, why would I choose to be sick? If I can be free, why would I choose to be bound? Amen. Praise the Lord. If I get sick, friends, pity me, sure. But don't go, oh, Brother Donnie, pray for me. I'm way too busy to stay down long. I got too much to do. I got too many sermons to preach. Too many devils to cast out. I don't want sympathy. I love health. Praise the Lord. I want to be happy. I want to be a vibrant Christian on fire with God with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't want just my soul saved. I want everything that's in my land. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No doubt there's people in different categories as we stand here tonight. And even some that have streamed the service and some that will go back and archive it. Maybe you're down in Africa. Maybe you're in Norway. Maybe you're in Europe, Australia, China, Japan. People from all over the world go back and stream these services. Maybe your culture is different from ours. Maybe your national spirit is different from ours and you face things different than we do. But God wants to help you no matter where you live. Whether you're Indian or African or Asian or whatever more. My friend, may God anoint your faith that your footprints can mean possession of your land. Can anybody tell me in the scriptures where the scripture says we have to die sick? That we have to be sick every day of our life? All the scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous,
But the rest of that scripture said, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all.
Amen.
He wants us to have peace and joy. He wants us to have wonderful marriages. Our marriage should be a little heaven on earth. That's what God wants it to be. Maybe you're saved tonight and your soul is sealed, but part of your land you've lost. You'd like to be remembered? Would you just raise your hand to God all over the place? Maybe I'm streaming. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down now. Maybe there's some of you here tonight, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You love the Lord. You love this message. You believe it's true. But you can't really say that your deed has been cleared. You'd like to be remembered tonight for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No one looking. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight for your children. Lord, I love them. I love them so much. Lord, I want them to have everything that you purchased for them. If I look at them with a shepherd's heart, and I want them to have that, how much more do you want them to have it? When I see them sick and struggling for their health, or I see them struggling in their spiritual walk with God, and I know they could do better. I know they could be higher in you. And because of stubbornness or traits or whatever it is, I know they're not. As their shepherd, it breaks my heart for them. Oh, Jesus, we bring all these needs before you tonight. Just in the visible audience of our hands, different categories that were raised. Lord, how many outstream in the service tonight, Father? And those that will go back from every continent on the earth and hear this, Lord. May the Spirit of God, I pray, move for them. You're just as mindful of our brothers and sisters in Africa and in Japan as you are here in the United States. Lord Jesus, I pray, may we as your children, Father, may we not only have our souls saved, but we want our land. We don't want just an unconditional covenant upon our souls that we're going to be there and we're sealed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But Lord, we want every acre of our spiritual inheritance down here in this life. Our healing, our peace, marriages, Lord, that are godly and holy and reflecting you. Churches that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Children that are praying and reading their Bible, and saints of God that are falling in love with you, Lord. All of these things are ours. But this, Father, is apart from salvation. That's our land. We're saved by the grace of God and filled by the Holy Ghost. Then these other things have to do with our walk. They have to do, that's where the prophet said that we fail, is that everyday walk. So the soul is eternally secured in your presence. But that walk is not as secure. So in there we can fail. In there we can fall short. But Lord God, in there is where the victory can also be won, if we want it. Or we can just come to church, barely get by. If we're yours, you'll get us. You'll do whatever you have to do to get our attention. But why waste precious time? Why waste years just lollygagging around, as we would say, when we can be on fire for God? Lord, why would I want to wait till next year to be in love with you, Lord? Oh, God, let me fall in love with you over again tonight, Father. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we just raise our hands now for whatever you need? Just make your petition known to Him. Just open your heart. If you're not sealed, may He seal you tonight. If you're sealed, but you've lost a little bit of your land, maybe the devil stopped up one of your wells of joy, like he tried to do to the seed of Abraham whenever they dug a well and they come over and took it. Then they dug another and they come over and took it. They kept on digging until they finally found one and said, there's room for all of us here. Maybe the devil's trying to stop up your wells. That's one of the first things they'd do when they'd come in, is try to secure the water supply. Oh, you've got enough sense to know if he can secure yours, you can still keep coming to church. You may not cut your hair, sisters. Your brothers may not start listening to rock and roll. But the vibrancy of your soul will become complacent. Why? Your water supply is cut off. Oh, my. But Jesus said, if any man will believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Oh, that's what God wants you to be tonight as a Christian. With that joy of the Holy Ghost. Remember the scripture tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Notice how the Bible says that it doesn't say your joy. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, you say my joy is gone. Well, it may be. But you can still have strength because your joy comes from His strength, not yours.
Amen. What do you need tonight? Why don't you just raise your hands and make them in a metaphorically way, in a sense of you're raising your hands, you're opening up your basket. You're opening up your vessel. Praise God. You're opening up your vessel. Fill it up tonight, Lord. Lord, I need healing in my body. That's the land I need tonight, Father. Lord, you see, we've been struggling in our marriage. We got some problems going on, Father. Marital problems. We got problems with the child. We got problems on the job. We got this, that. Lord, I'm opening up my heart tonight, Father. Oh, praise be to God. I want my land. Lord, my soul's not at stake. I'm not lost. I'm not a risk at all. I wasn't even when I was out there in the world. But Lord God, my joy is not what it ought to be. My peace isn't what I ought to be. Father God, I open my hands tonight to receive. I'm not only asking, but I'm believing and I'm receiving. In the name of Jesus. Praise be to God. Just put your case on His hands and be like that woman when devil and Satan, my, no doubt whispered to her, they don't love you, they don't care for you. The disciples tried to run her off. It didn't run her off. Jesus called her a dog. It didn't run her off. Jesus said it wasn't even sent to your kind. It didn't run her off. Amen. She kept right on believing. Jesus said, I've not found such faith in Israel. Oh, friend, you want that kind of faith tonight that Jesus Himself can't even run you off. That if Jesus says, get away from me, get out of my face, don't you tell me nothing else. You say, God, I'm on your hands. I'm on your hands, God. You ain't running me off. I'm sick tonight, Lord. I need to be healed. God, I'm bound. I need to be delivered. Amen. I'm on your hands, Lord. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Father, we not only believe, but we receive what we have need of. Lord, we've seen you do so many things among us, it would be a sin. It would be a sin for us to disbelieve. It would be a sin for us to disbelieve and not take you at your word. We receive tonight, Lord. Praise be to God. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. Oh, my. Now let's take our hands and wave them as an offering of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord Jesus, my child is saved. My husband's coming back. Thank you, Lord, my sight's going to be restored. Thank you, Lord, you're going to move on my job. Thank you, Lord, whatever you have need of. Now be like Abraham, the prophet said, when God gave him the promise, Abraham watered it every day. My bad, this husband's going to get saved. My Catholic husband's going to get saved. My family's coming in, Lord, I'm claiming. Them. I'm believing you tonight, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and give you praise right now. I'm going to water that seed. It's part of my land. It's part of my inheritance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Can we worship Him, saints? Oh, He's so worthy of us. Our praise. He's so worthy of our love and our adoration. Let's just not ask Him, but let's ask Him in faith and believe and then give Him thanks that it's going to come to pass. Praise the Lord. Knowing that if there's nothing in your heart, that we have the petition that we ask of God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord God. We exalt you tonight, Lord Jesus. You are worthy. Thank you, Father, for calling us like you did Abraham. Oh, praise God. Lord, as I heard a testimony of a brother the other night over to Pavilion, his Tom and I wasn't raised in church, wasn't raised in a religious background, but his family was gone and he got to thinking about God and he put God out of his mind, wasn't even sure if there was a God. But he began to think about God. I need to get right if there is a God. And he remembered his sister had told him about a man's name. But he couldn't remember exactly what it was. Brannon, Brenham, Bramham, something other. So he got on the internet when he's all by himself at home. And he typed in Brannon. And he typed in Brown. And he typed in all kinds of things.
And then all of a sudden, something began to bring it to him. William Branham. Hallelujah. When he tapped in William Branham and he started listening to tapes, when his wife and children got back after a week, he was totally changed. He said, Brother Donnie, no one told me about this word. No one brought it to me. It was God that brought it to me. I thought, my, that's it. What was it? Election. Praise be to God. It wasn't just so for him. It was the same for you. It was the same for me, every one of us. It was God's election that brought it to us. Amen. It were Baptist, Methodist, whatever more you was, or just plain old sinners, and God's mercy got a hold to your life. God's election. Amen. We worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise Him. Everybody now, He's so wonderful. Jesus is to me, oh Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. Thank you for election, Lord. Thank you for grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, of our mistakes and our shortcomings. Thank you, Father. We worship you tonight, Lord, with all of our hearts. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad, friend, that He's looked beyond all your failures?
looked beyond all your faults and all your mistakes. And what did he see? He saw your need. He saw your need. Oh, my. Can we sing that together? He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing it together just before we go. Amazing grace. Let's sing it now with all of our hearts. My song of praise, for it was grace by my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. Soul, everybody with all your heart, thank you, Jesus. I shall forever Father, we thank you for your grace to us tonight. Oh, what a day that will be when your prayer, Lord Jesus, will be completely answered. That you prayed that we would be there with you. Amen. And have fellowship with you. And we long for that hour when we will return back to the land of election. Lord, may there not be a one of us missing at that day. Lord, take the word tonight, I pray. Forgive me of any mistakes or failures that I might have made in the presentation of it, Lord. May your spirit just make it real to the hearts of your children. If it be pleasing to you and we are able to gather here again in the morning, may you anoint us afresh, Father. May we gather with the right mental attitude towards your promises, accepting, believing, expecting with all of our hearts that you're going to speak to us once again. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. And the church said,
Amen.
And many can say it's been good.
Amen.
You've been in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing together, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Let me tell you something, friend. You think you're going to have a lot of regrets when you get there that day. You think you are. In reality, you ain't. The Lord will take every bit of those things and cleanse those from you. Oh, say, but Brother Donnie, I've never done nothing for God. What am I going to have there? Brother Bram said, I will go to my reward, which he bought for me. What reward could we do? What could we ever produce? But think of Adam. Can anybody tell me of anything that Adam, great thing that Adam ever done after he fell? The prophet tells us he even taught his sons wrong. He taught them it was fruit that brought him out of the garden. But God, by revelation, showed Abel the truth. So what great reward is Adam going to have? Tell me. Well, God, I healed the sick. I won people back to you. I done this. I done that. Tell me what the scripture said Adam ever done. And he lived to be 930 years old. How is he going to walk down through heaven? Not like this. Grace.
Amen.
Grace. The thief on the cross takes his last breath. Wasn't even baptized. Never won anybody to God. How many people that died on their before they died on their deathbed give their heart to the Lord and was actually able to make peace? They never done nothing. They never won anybody to God. So is there a shamed section in heaven to where those people will live and they'll live there all through eternity? And, well, you know, them's the cast-offs. They never done nothing for God. They never won nobody to God. And Adam's over too because he's the one who brought us all into all this mess. That's not eternity. Jesus looks at those in Matthew 25, not you. He looks at them and says, well done. They don't go into heaven weeping and crying and so sad and so sorrowful. They go into heaven rejoicing. The prophet saw him in that dream and people was going past the other and he said, well done, good and faithful servant. They were screaming and hollering, glory to God, and shouting the praises of God. What happened to all their mistakes? Their husband took care of all that. All their failures, all their regrets. Did they wish they'd have done more? No doubt in life they did. No doubt they wish they'd have done more. Do I wish I'd have done more? I'm 60 years old. What have I done for God? Many of you, what have you done for God? Well, can I go back and relive it? Can I try to become a young man, reverse all that failures? I can't. If I had to just commit it all to His care. Forgive me, Lord, for my mistakes. And either I believe He will or not. You have to believe the same. You housewives, many of you ain't never won nobody to God. Many of you housewives ain't never cast out no devils. You ain't never made no altar call and 15 or 20 people come give their heart to the Lord. So I ain't going to have nothing. I ain't going to have nothing. You'll have what He purchased for you. And that's what He wants you to have. Oh my. Don't you love Him, friends? Brother Donnie, how are we going to stand by Paul and Brother Branham? We'll stand right by them. That's how we'll stand. I'm not required what Brother Branham was. I'm not required of what Paul was. I'll stand right there. Sure, I'll give an account. Absolutely. Let me expand your understanding on that before I let you go. And Brother Darrell goes overseas. Goes over to Africa. Maybe we'll give him $1,000, $2,000, whatever Brother Jimmy will give him. Brother Darrell, come back in the office, Brother Donnie. I went to so-and-so, and we had to pay the motel bill here, and we'd done this, and we'd done that. And there's a poor brother there I really felt sorry for, so I gave him a couple $100, and we'd done this, and if there was any left, he'd bring it back and give it to Brother Jim. What's Brother Darrell doing? Giving an account. He ain't being judged. If I didn't think him trustworthy, we wouldn't give him that money. But what's he doing? He's giving an account. And what do I say back? Praise the Lord, Brother Darrell. Well, soul was one to God. Thank God. God done this and God done that. Do I look at him harsh? You mean you spent $1,500 on that trip? You mean you don't? I'm judging you. I'm going to tell the church on you. Of course not. Giving an account is not always bad.
Sometimes it's rejoicing in what you've done. You're just making known, Lord, you put this in my hand and I've done that with it. Lord, you put this in my well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You've given account. You're going to give an account for being a wife. You're going to give an account for being a mother. Lord, I tried my best to raise my children. Lord, they didn't always do right. Lord, all of them didn't make it. Oh, but you was a wonderful mother. You done. You, I made you a mother and you answered, well done, you mothers. Well done. Oh, you mean God ain't going to hold me responsible if they don't serve him? Absolutely not. You're responsible for your part, not for what they do. That's up to them.
Praise the Lord. Oh, I wish we could go tonight. I said, I wish we could go tonight. Praise God. Oh, Brother Donnie, I dread it. I dread it.
Friend, you need an understanding. You need a revelation that God can take the dread of you standing out in front of him. But all my mistakes, they won't be there. They will not be there. Look at the funeral service we preached on Wednesday night of Moses. Where was his mistakes in Hebrews 11? Under the blood. Where was the dead Egyptian? Where was his anger? Where was all those things? Never even mentioned. By faith, Moses done this. By faith, Moses done that. Oh, glory. When you stand there, by faith, Skip done this. By faith, Jimmy done that. By faith, Wes done that. Where's your mistakes? Your husband took them all. You're not going to stand there and face all the mistakes. How in the world could he be your Redeemer? And then you stand there and answer for all your failures again. The blood of Jesus is so powerful, they'll never be remembered.
Oh, my. Oh, that deserves a little hand clap to our Lord, don't it? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing it slow, brothers, first time around. Sing grace, how sweet. Oh, glory to God. The sound that saved a what? A wretch like me. But I ain't no wretch tonight. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now let's pick it up, brothers, when we've been there 10,000 years. When we there 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. Being as the sun. Sing it like this. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown, my brother. We shall wear. Hallelujah. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Everybody, as we go. See you in the morning. Oh, hallelujah. We'll